What up, what up, what up? It's your man here, Alvin Majette, better known as Top Notch Bartender. And this is another episode of Conversations with a Bartender. So what's going on, people? What's going down? Hope everybody good tonight, man. It's another episode of Conversations with a Bartender, y'all. So tonight, man, I am going to do a wine review with y'all tonight. So if y'all can bear with me tonight, I'll be doing a wine review. And I'm going to talk about this Cabernet that I picked up from my wine shop tonight. And I've been looking at this Cabernet for a while, for a couple of weeks. I've been going to the shop on Sundays, you know how I do. I'm there on Sundays, and I've been looking at the cab, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna try it out. You know, I'm gonna do a wine review. I'm gonna do it on the podcast and see what's crack-a-lacking with it. So that's what I'm gonna do. So just getting started out, really. So the cab that I picked out is called Callaway. It's from the Callaway Cellar Selection. And if you don't know about Callaway, I'm gonna give you a little bit of information about Callaway so you will know. Okay, so Callaway was founded by Eli Callaway, a legend and pioneer in viticulture and golf alike. Callaway Cellar Selection enjoys a pedigree of more than 40 years of California winemaking. Callaway harness classic California coastal varieties to craft fruit-forward, full-body wines for everyday enjoyment. Honoring the founder's passion for precision in every glass. So, it's out there, California, you already know. Man, back in like 1973, Eli Callaway, he was a successful textile entrepreneur, and he planted some vineyards on about 140 acres of land back in Temecula, California. The first vintage of Callaway wine was produced about 2 years later and quickly gained renown after Queen Elizabeth II was served Callaway recently. In response, awarded the Temecula recognition as an official winemaking region. So in 1982, brought Callaway another opportunity when he purchased half of a golf company, Hickory Stick USA, later purchasing the company in full and rebranding it as Callaway Golf. So look, man, he was doing big things back in the day when it came to entrepreneurship, man. You talking about golf, wine. I mean, wow. So right now, the winemaker for Callaway Wines is, his name is Phil Hurst. He's a California native. He's a graduate of UC Davis. He brings an extensive knowledge of California Premier AVA wines. His experience, man, is creating and developing and launching meaningful wine brands, additional value to grow the brands in whole. So Phil Hurst is the winemaker. I mean, he's doing big things, I would think, out there in Callaway. So for Callaway Wines. So a little bit about Callaway Wines. You know, I got this Cabernet that's done won a lot of medals, silver medals for the international wine competition. So it is a great wine to sip on, I guess. We're gonna find out in a few minutes, but you know, Paso Robles is an ideal region for growing bold Cabernet because of its long, hot days, crisp, cool nights, and diverse soils. So it's a great region to grow Cabernet. Cabernet grows in abundance there. You know, and the elements of the wine and the color and everything, it's a dark ruby in color. And the aromas are classic Paso blackberry and spice, mouth-filling flavors of ripe plum, vanilla, oak, cola, with a robust finish. So, man, I mean, they describe the wine in detail, really. You know, I can't say too much about the wine until I taste it, you know. But they are pumping out Chardonnay. They're pumping out Cabernet. I think they do a Zinfandel, a Pinot Noir. But like I said, man, this is seem like it might be some great wine to taste, you know, or to just sip on. So we're going to find out. And the price point on this wine actually is about $12, $13 a bottle. So not bad at all. So all you winemakers out there, or not winemakers, I'm sorry, wine drinkers out there, pick up a bottle. I'm pretty sure you can probably find it in like Total Wine, the big box stores, or the big grocery stores, maybe like a Harris Teeter, one of those type of stores you can probably find it in. But like I said, I've been looking at the bottle, and I've tried a number of Cabernets that we have at the wine store, and this is one of the ones that I just haven't gotten to. So I wanted to try it out to see what it was all about. So for those out there who are listening in, this is a 2018 vintage Cabernet. I already done took the top off, the cork out, so I wanted to breathe a little bit. I didn't put it in the decanter this time, but I did want it to breathe, so I am going to pour myself a little bit of it. I know you heard the noise. So look, man, it does have the hue on it is, I say a dark burgundy to a blush type color on it. So the aromas on this are a little different. Let me see. So the aromas I'm definitely getting some blueberry. I'm definitely getting like those black fruits. They are like busting through. I'm not getting anything else. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of smelling some Flintstone vitamins. That's what exactly reminds me of, a Flintstone vitamin. It has that candy-like aroma, but also medicine-like. But I'm going to let it sit, and I'm not even going to sip it right now. I'm going to kind of let it decant a little bit and do it that way, man. But while it's sitting and while I let it, you know, breathe a little bit, man, it's been a weekend. It's been a fulfilled weekend, y'all. My daughter, my baby girl, turned 16 yesterday, Saturday, and it was a great day, man. It was a good day. We did not a lot of things, but we went out, had a good time. We went to a place called Drive Shack, which is a golf-based entertainment center, basically, and played some golf, hit some balls. Man, they had fun. She had her friends there, had a good time, came back home, changed clothes, went out to dinner. Dinner was pretty good. The restaurant we went to, I'd never been before, but it was the first time me going. It wasn't bad, to tell you the truth. They had it spaced out real nice. You know, people wasn't on top of each other. People were wearing their mask. Not while they was eating, of course, but, you know, they had their mask on while they wasn't eating. So I definitely liked that. The vibe was really, really nice in there. The ambiance was really nice. And it was decked out, too, in the restaurant. That's something I can appreciate. But we had a nice dinner. Her and her friends sat at one table, of course, and I sat with the fam on another table. And, you know, had a nice little dinner and sung happy birthday to her, sweet 16, of course. So that's a milestone. I think that's a great milestone that she has accomplished, and a milestone for myself, because I never thought, you know, seeing my baby girl grow up to be 16 is crazy. You know, she already asking for license and cars and stuff like that. They ain't even touched the damn job or none of that. But anyway, she already asking for a car. Ain't even touched a permit or a license or nothing, y'all. But you know how they do. They teenagers. So look, I done let this wine, this Callaway wine, air out a little bit. Let it breathe. So we're going to do some tasting on this thing. Let's see. It's a little different. This one right here is a little different. I taste vegetables. I taste like I don't know if this is like a, I definitely taste a floral essence to it. This is a cab, so I don't know why I'm getting these vegetables, but it's tasting like potatoes or broccoli or something. Like it has a calm, light flavor to it, but also I definitely get some fruit in it. Maybe some stone fruit. It has a hint of like sediment, like some concrete or something like that. I can't really wrap my head around it, but let me drink some more. It has some spice to it. Now that I'm sipping more and it's opening up, that it's sitting here, it has some spice to it, of course. Not that spicy, though. Not that peppery, but you can definitely taste spice in it. You know, people try to describe wine, man, and it's hard. You know, in order for you to be able to describe wine and how it tastes and what flavors you get out of it, you definitely have to drink a lot of wine. You have to drink a lot of wine, different wine, just to get those, to get your palate used to recognizing certain flavors of the wine. I mean, you have so many different elements and flavors to wine. So, I mean, you can take, for instance, Chardonnay. You know, people say you get the oaky, buttery, but, you know, you get that straw flavor, you get that citrus, you get some buttery tones to it. So it's crazy, but you definitely have to drink a lot of wine to be able to describe the wine, especially if you're going to be a wine consultant, or if you're going to sell wine, be a wine rep, or if you're really going to get into it and take the WSET classes and try to become certified or SOM, you definitely have to drink a lot of wine to be able to recognize certain flavors, certain aromas. And then some people just go off the cuff. You know, you got the wine snobs that think they know something. They don't know a damn thing. They just be talking and shit and don't be knowing what the hell they talking about, but they do it. And they be trying to describe how it killed. Look, it's so funny because I be at the wine store, man, on Sundays. And, you know, you got certain ladies that come in and they've been drinking wine for years. and they think they know every damn thing when it comes to wine, yo. It's crazy that they will talk my head off, and I'm the one that's behind the bar selling the damn wine, but they will talk me down like they know everything about wine. It's crazy. So I just sit back and listen to the snobs. That's what you call snobs. Those are the ones that done drunk enough wine, and then they drink a lot of wine, and then they probably done had a couple of expensive bottles, and they probably done been out of the country and then drunk some wine, and now they feel like they just know everything about wine. This shit is crazy to me, but that's what they do, you know? That's what the snobs do. So I tend to, rather being a snob, I try to do my research. I try to drink enough wine, taste enough wine, do enough reading, do enough video watching, stuff like that, man, so I can learn as much as I can learn and soak it up before I actually dive into getting certified. You know, I want to be able to learn as much as I can learn, because I don't want to take my, I don't want to waste my time on the lower level WSET classes. I want to be able to hit those classes when I can hit them. And I'm talking about the level twos and the level threes. I want to be able to hit those like running. I don't, you know, I want to be able to get into those classes and be able to run with it, you know? So that's why I take my time and try to learn as much as I can learn on my own. You know, I'm reading every day. I'm quizzing myself, you know? I'm taking tests myself, really. I'm giving myself tests. I'm quizzing myself. So that's what I'm doing to try to learn this thing, man. And then I look at a lot of videos, you know, of wine experts, professionals in the business, expertise in the business, man. And it's very helpful. And then I got a couple of friends that are, you know, I had a couple of friends that are psalms. So they try to help me out and give me some nuggets every now and then. And that psalm, being a psalm, is real. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the real deal. Being a psalm or going for your psalm. And if you don't know when I'm saying psalm, I'm shortening it up for sommelier. That's a expert in wine. That's someone that knows everything about wine, the pairing of food. That's someone that can call out aromas and flavors. That's someone that can call out vintages, chateaus, appellations. So that's what that is, you know, when you become a psalm. And I would love to become a psalm, but at this age where I'm at now, I don't see myself becoming a psalm. I see myself actually working towards owning a vineyard. You know, that's the ultimate goal right there, is to own a vineyard. You know, you want to sit back and look at the land and see how nice the land is, and, you know, tend to the land, you know, in retirement stage, you know, that age where, of course, you don't want to work for no one, and you want to just sit back and reap the fruits of your labor. That's what I'm trying to do. I really don't want to be a psalm. And even now, like, being in a restaurant now, like the restaurant we went to last night, they had an extensive wine list, but the waiter or the waitress, she couldn't really even tell me about any of the wine. Even though I didn't drink any wine last night, because I decided not to drink. It was my baby girl birthday, so I decided not to have a drink anything for dinner. But the waitress, I did ask about the wine list though anyway. And the waitress asked, like, she really didn't even know much about the wine, you know? And so I asked, I said, do y'all have a sommelier here, you know, at this restaurant? And she didn't even know what a sommelier was. So I was like, oh, shit, okay. And, you know, she was like, let me ask my manager. She said, let me ask my manager. I'm like, what? Okay, if you got to ask your manager if y'all have a sommelier, then y'all don't have a sommelier. So, and it's all good. I just wanted to know because I saw the extensive wine menu and I wanted to ask. So But this actually is a decent cab. Now, I was actually drinking a way better cab earlier. Now, I have a homeboy. He is a vintner and a winemaker. So, he is growing grapes and he's making wine right here in North Carolina. And he makes some great wine. I mean, for him to be able to make Cabernet in this area of North Carolina, it's ridiculous, but he is doing it. Now, I'm going to tell you the batch, the bottle that I had, I think was a 2017 vintage. He made it back in 2017, and man, it is so good. You got to let it sit for a second, let it decant, let it breathe a little bit, but it's so good, you know, compared to this wine. And he's doing wine out of his garage. Like, he done won all these awards. He done been in so many competitions for homemaking wine. And he's won, but he haven't got to the point where he's actually selling it. You know, in order to sell it, you got to have everything in place. You got to have your facility, all the license and permits and everything just for you to be able to sell it. So he haven't gotten to that point yet, but he have, you know, a vineyard and he's producing wine right now. He's making wine. And basically what he's doing, he's giving it away. He's giving it away or he's asking for like donations, you know, but it's some great wine. And he also making mead. So if you don't know what mead is a alcoholic beverage that's made out of honey. And it's rather on the sweet side, but it's really good. You can add, you know, certain fruit flavors to it or whatever. And it's high in alcohol content. So you have to take your time with mead. But he's making mead. And the mead that he makes, he gave me a bottle the other day. And it's delicious. But I'm not necessarily a big sweet alcohol drinker. But I can sip on it, but it actually kind of reminds me of like Cisco. And anybody remember what Cisco is, man? It was an awful, awful alcoholic drink back in the day. They used to call it the liquid crack. Oh man, I got some bad stories about Cisco. But anyway, that's a whole nother show right there. But yeah, the Cisco was an alcoholic drink, man. And that's what it reminds me of. It definitely is fruit forward, but it has a lot of elements to it, actually. And I think he gave me the mango. So I think what he did was he added some mango to it while in the fermenting stage. And it definitely has some mango flavors to it. It has some tropical fruit flavors to it. So it's pretty good. It's nothing I can really kind of like drink like that. I'm thinking about actually, to tell you the truth, I'm thinking about mixing it up with the cocktail. I mean, maybe with some vodka. You know, I hate to put all that alcohol together, but I think that's what I'm gonna mix it with, because it's sweet. But it's something that I definitely can't see myself drinking on a regular basis, of course. But it's way better. His Cabernet that I was drinking earlier from yesterday, and I had like a glass left over, it's actually better than this Callaway. Like, I mean, seriously, it's better than this Callaway. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour me another glass and I'm going to let it sit. I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to let it breathe and see if I can bring out some more flavors in it. But my man, you know, his name was Hassani Hooks. He got the Rosa wine and he's doing his thing, man. And I can't wait till he get full-fledged and just out there selling his wine, doing his thing, because I know he's going to be successful because he got it. I mean, he got everything right there for you. You know, He's really into the wine. He's soaking up knowledge every day. He's seeking knowledge every day. And I just think that he will definitely be successful in this business. And you got to understand, it's not a lot of Black-owned wine businesses in the United States. You know, it's a handful. And when I say a handful, I could probably say it could be probably about 30 to 35 Black-owned businesses, wine businesses. And what I mean by that is it's not that many Black-owned wine businesses from start to finish. So you definitely, I'm talking about the vineyard. I'm talking about the winemaking. I'm talking about the bottling, the labeling, the marketing, advertisement, all the way through, everything all the way through. It's not that many. So my man right now, he is growing the grapes. He is making the wine. He is bottling the wine. He is labeling the wine. So he's doing all aspects right now besides he's not selling. So, and he'll get to that point where he'll be able to sell. But right now, to make garage wine, and it is delicious. I'm not even going to front. He make a delicious garage wine. And you can't beat it. You cannot beat his wine. So, hey, Hassani Hooks. Shout out to my man, Hassani Hooks. You know, I actually sat with him not too long ago, and we were just kind of kicking it over a bottle of wine and just talk about, you know, endeavors and things we, you know, strive to do and want to do in life, man. And we have so many commonalities, especially when it comes to this wine thing. You know, I try to consider myself as another young Black up and coming wine enthusiast. Did I say that right? Enthusiast. That's how you say it. Enthusiast, man. Don't try to play me. But I definitely consider myself that. I try to learn as much as I can learn, try to put myself out there. Of course, I'm a beverage guy. I try to do, you know, cocktails, wine, whatever. But I really am digging this wine thing, man. And that's one thing I really want to set my sights on, is owning a vineyard, being able to grow grapes and being able to make wine and sell it. That's like the ultimate goal, man. I mean, think about this. You 55, right? You own a vineyard, and you sit back on your vineyard, man, drinking a glass of wine and reflecting on your hard work and how you've been blessed and the beautiful scenery, the ambiance of it all, the rolling hills or whatever type of landscape you have, just to be able to look out, drink a nice glass of wine and look at that and reflect, man. So that's what I look at by the time I'm 55. I got a couple of years, you know. That's 55 for me is actually less than 10 years. So got a couple of years, but less than 10 years, and I think I can make that happen, man. As long as I can stay healthy and do what I gotta do to work hard towards it, I think that definitely can be a goal for me. And it's a goal for some family members. So I think that's something that the Majet boys can definitely do. The Majet boys, I said Majet, that's my last name, Majet, baby. That's what we do. And if you didn't recognize, it's Majet, but it's actually Mijet. And Mijet is a French name. And actually, my great-great-grandfather came from Limousin, France. I'm sorry, my great-great-grandfather came from Limousin, France. And, you know, over there in France, that's what they do, man. They make wine. They make wine. They drink wine. They do it all. But Limousin, France, is mostly made up of noblemen, which actually are like, so, you know, like I was saying, Limousine, France, I mean, that's like wine region, you know, that's France. So, Miget, you can't deny that, you know, so that's what I go off of. But I think that's so funny, to tell you the truth, man. I'm a black guy with the last name Miget, and I love wine, you know, so it is what it is. But like I was saying, y'all, this Callaway cellar selection, it's alright. I mean, it ain't the best I ever had, but it's alright. You know, it's pretty good. I mean, I could definitely see myself drinking it, you know, every now and then. I'm not gonna rave about it. It's not no Hassani Hooks, but it's definitely good. I can't beat that at all. Especially when it's already 10:30 at night and I'm doing a show, it's definitely gonna be good. So yeah, man, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come on, y'all, and give y'all a review of some good wine that I was drinking on and tell y'all about it and tell y'all all about, you know, my wine drinking, basically, and give y'all some tips about how it tastes, and go out and get some if you, you know, don't want to spend a lot of money. Like I said, it's almost about $12. Really can't beat that, you know. Can't beat that at all. I try to stay within a certain price point. I ain't even gonna lie. Unless it's a happy occasion, a good occasion, something, you know, or a birthday, you know, if it's something like that, I spend a little something on some wine. But you gotta think, I'm buying liquor too. I'm buying liquor and wine. I am a bartender. I do my bartending shows and my mixology shows on YouTube. So I gotta balance things out. You know, I don't want to look like I'm an alcoholic. I know I'm doing this as my profession, but I want to balance things out, so I got to be able to buy, you know, enough liquor, liqueur, and wine. So I try to balance things out so I don't try to go overboard with my prices when I'm paying for certain wines. Now, I'm going to tell you, I got my favorite wine. Like, I'm a cab drinker. I drink cab, I drink Zinfandel, I drink Malbec, Tempranillo, you know, you name it, I drink it. But my go-to, like my favorite right now, is Bella Gloss Pinot Noir. Man, I love that shit. That shit is like liquid gold for real, yo. Everybody that come into the wine store, when they ask, yo, do you have any suggestions about a wine? Yep. How much you trying to spend? If you don't mind spending $45, I'm gonna suggest the Bella Gloss to you every time. Like, I don't care if you tell me, man, I only drink white wine. I don't care if you tell me, man, look, I only drink cab. I wouldn't give a damn. You come in there and ask me for a suggestion, I'm gonna give you the Bella Gloss all day. That's some of the greatest wine I've ever drank. And I have been drinking some expensive wines. Now, you got to remember, I work for a high-end country club, and that's all them people did was drink wine out there, and they drunk that good shit. Now, I'm talking about a couple of hundred dollars for a bottle type of good shit. But I drank that good wine, man, while I was there, and that's where I got my affinity for good wine. Like, But that Bella Gloss, man, look, $45, it's so good and delicious. I mean, it glides across the palate, the tongue, like some silk, you know? It glides across the tongue like some silk, some soft silk that just luscious with grape and raspberry and strawberry and boysenberry and everything you can think of. That's, oh man, it's so delicious. But anyway, okay, enough about my Pinot Noir kick, because that Bella Gloss is something good. But enough about that. But yeah, man, I wanted to come on. I didn't want to do a long show. I'm figuring out that if I'm doing a show by myself, it need to be at least about 30 minutes, maybe. I don't want to go too much over that, but I wanted to come on and give y'all some information about this Callaway wine. Not bad. I think it was actually a pretty good review. You got any suggestions? Tune in. Now, like I said, you can always find me. I'm on IG. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Anchor. I'm on Google Music. I'm on Apple Music. You can check me out. Always, I'm tossing it up. And then, along with all that right there, you know I sell wine. I'm a wine consultant, everybody. So I do sell wine for a vineyard out in California. So if you want to check me out, you can go onto my website. You can check my website out at www.wineshopathome.com/A-Majette. Once again, it is www.wineshopathome.com/A-Majette. And that is A-M-I-D-G-E-T-T-E. Once again, holla at your man, because you know what I do. I'm going to sell you that wine. I'm going to give you some good tips. And on my wine, on my website, man, look, you can get anything from red, the whites, the sweets, the dries, the sherries, the ports. You get accessories, wine bags, man. You can get keychains, whatever you need to get, man. I'm there. Come check me out. As always, this has been a great, great, great show for me. Like I said, I'm doing this thing by myself. Y'all hear some guests every now and then, but I'm doing it right here by myself, telling y'all all about the wine, telling y'all all about the spirits, telling y'all all about the cocktails and everything above. So once again, check your boy out. I'm everywhere. You already know, Top Notch Bartender. Peace up. And A-Town Dime.